Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. We serve the mighty God. Amen. His will be done. Amen. In this earth as it is in heaven. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. I know there's many needs out there, but we serve the mighty God. Praise the Lord, and He is here tonight. Praise our God. Let's go to Him. Praise our Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for this moment here that we have together, Lord. These moments together, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered in Your name, that You are there in our midst, oh, Lord. And we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You put within us, Lord. Oh, God, this desire to serve Thee, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, the fact that You showed us our great need to come unto Thee, Lord. Oh, God, You brought us this far, Lord. Oh, it's by Thy grace. It's by Thy mercy. Oh, Thy wondrous compassion unto us, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Oh, God, we ask that You'd move in our hearts. God, You know exactly what we have need of tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You bind every spirit, oh, Lord, that would come to hinder in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that Your word would have free course. I pray that You'd use this word, Lord. Oh, God, truly we know that we could do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, You are the potter, Lord, and we are the clay, Lord. And we ask that You would take our lives, that You would mold us, that You'd shape in us, Lord, according to Thy ways. Oh, God, that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, that You give us faith in times like these. Oh, God, oh, overcoming strength to prevail, Lord. Oh, God, to go forward, to believe You regardless, oh, God, of what it looks like on the surface. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd work here tonight. Lord, You know every need, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You would lift up the heavy ones, oh, Lord, the heavy in heart, oh, Lord Jesus. I pray that You'd bind all those spirits, Lord, that would try to hinder, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, Your Spirit would be here, oh Lord, to lift up those that are sick and have infirmities and have great needs of You, Lord. Oh God, that Your presence would be here. Oh God, that You'd meet the needs. Oh God, that You'd deliver in a mighty way, Lord, and that You'd be here to save, even to the uttermost. Oh, God, we need You, Lord. I pray that You be here to pour out of Your Spirit, Lord. For it's by Your Spirit. Oh, God, oh, Lord, we would not be here except, oh, God, You had prompted us. You had drawn us. Oh, God, oh, Lord, You called us. And here we are, Lord, to acknowledge Thee and to come before Thee, Lord. Pray that You'd work, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd work in a mighty way in our hearts and our lives, that You'd answer the needs of Your people. Oh God, that You'd put faith within us. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let the devil, oh Lord, have no way, no effect, oh Lord. Give us faith, Lord. Put faith deep within us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, work in us in a mighty way, oh Lord. Help us to be ready for Thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, we do serve the mighty God, and He is so good to us. We know that it is of His strength that we could draw nigh here tonight and believe in His promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, By My Spirit. And we're going to go to the Old Testament here tonight. We're going to go to Zechariah. Zechariah, almost to the end of the Old Testament, the next to the last book of the Old Testament. And what a wonder it is. Praise our God. Zechariah chapter 4. Praise our God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise our God. This is quite an amazing portion of Scripture, but let's just see how the Lord will lead us here tonight and what He'll show us. Praise us, praise our God. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Okay. Now, we know that visions can be a little bit strange, but how the Lord does use them, and they always indicate more than we can imagine. On the surface, it seems, as we ponder these things, we see the deepness of this vision that Zechariah was shown here. And let's just think about it here a minute as it happened to him. Tells us in that first verse that it was as an angel that awakened him, and it seems like it was very sudden. It says a man that is wakened out of his sleep. So unexpectedly, you know, in the middle of the night perhaps, very suddenly, he has this vision. And he hears a voice that says unto him, What seest thou? And, you know, he's looking at what the Lord is showing him. And this is what he beholds. He sees a candlestick. The candlestick is all of gold. And let's just imagine it. I can see it as a very tall candlestick. And on the very top of this gold candlestick, there's a bowl. And I would suppose the bowl's pretty good size. It's on the top of the candlestick. And then there are seven lamps that are on, I think, the bowl here. And I suppose there's three on one side and four on the other side, as far as I can imagine. And to each of those seven lamps, there are seven pipes that lead to the lamps. Okay, and then upon the right side of the bowl and upon the left side, on each side, there are two olive trees. Again, one's on the right side and one's on the left side. And, you know, we can just ponder this. If we can see what is all happening here. And I'll tell you what, it's quite an amazing story as it unfolds here, because what I'm getting from this, we know that olive trees bring forth olive oil, and that's a source of fuel. And it's used in the Scripture also to exemplify the Spirit of the living God. And so here we have it, this candlestick, the bowl on top, and then the seven lamps on top of that, and then the pipes that lead to it, and then we've got the olive trees, one on the right hand and one on the left. And so, we'll consider this. Please remember this. As this continues, it says in verse 4, So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. It was a mystery to him. And, you know, God's going to use this for a very specific purpose. And of course, there's quite a bit to this in reality. But I want you to consider, as we've spoken, and more will come out, you know, these olive trees by this candlestick and all the lights, the lamps that come from it. Obviously, there's a continuous source coming to this candlestick, to those seven lamps that are attached and all, a continual source, I would say without stop, there's fuel that comes to this candlestick. And so, it's been told to Zechariah the prophet, and you know, he's asked by the angel, he knows not what these be, and he had to say, no, my Lord, I don't understand. And then it tells us in verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now let me explain a few things that were going on at this point. I believe this portion of scripture is dealing with a time when many of the Hebrews were carried off into Babylon and were in captivity. And of course we know that God had promised that after 70 years that they would be brought back. And Zerubbabel is, you know, a very important man in all of this. It seems that in the first year of Cyrus, who was king there in Babylon at that time, and Zerubbabel served under him. And Cyrus recognized him as the prince of Judah there, and so he was esteemed. And when it was time for them to go back, and this is an amazing thing because, you know, how in the world, here they are, the Hebrew people that were carried off, they're captives. And, you know, what kind of means do they have to go back and reestablish that which was lost back in Judea and Jerusalem and all of that which, you know, had been completely demolished and destroyed, including the temple. But, you know, God has a plan. And, you know, God always has a plan. God is never lost. He's never puzzled. You know, he's never contemplating, oh, what will I do next? No, God had it all under control. And this man, Zerubbabel, who was considered the prince of Judah there in captivity, was the one that led the first colony of captives back to Jerusalem, back to Judea. And he was accompanied by Jeshua, the high priest, and a good number of other priests, and some other Levites, and other heads of houses of Judah and Benjamin. And so he came back with them. And when he was there, he was considered to be the governor of Judah at that point. Praise the Lord, God had put him in that place. And when he arrived about 536 BC, there, well, the first thing he did when he arrived at Jerusalem was he built an altar to God, an altar that had to be rebuilt to restart the daily sacrifices, of course, which, you know, had not been done, you know, since the time of the captivity and all the other things that happened before it. So here he is, Zerubbabel, and he's brought to this position here to help restore Jerusalem and Judah. And again, it is an amazing story because Cyrus, the Lord, moved on him in such a way, king of Persia, that he was able to bring them the materials and all the supplies, the money that they needed, even, you know, the safety features and everything so that they could get there in safety. And I mean, again, it's amazing what our God can do. Like I said, he's always ahead of us. He knows how to help us. You know, he knows what's going to happen with this building, when they're going to start, you know, the street work. And, you know, he knows the details. And we've been praying and trusting him. You know, we know we got the Passover service coming. And God knows it too. praise the Lord, and He has it all worked out. And I love that. And so here's Zerubbabel, and you know, he's got materials. Money is granted him for those needs that are particular there pertaining to the things that need to be rebuilt. And it's the second year of the return, and Zerubbabel is able to lay again the foundation of the temple. Like I said, the temple had been completely demolished, had been completely destroyed, but by the second year of their return, the second month, that foundation is laid. Looks good, you know, and they have a wonderful solemn dedication and a time of rejoicing at that point. But right after that, the enemy comes in. Hindrances come in. There's a mixed people of Samaria that are dwelling in that area, and they want their portion. They have claims to the land, too, and you know, they want to get their hands in this, too. But Zerubbabel and others there that were leading the Hebrews thought that not wise. So these mixed Samaritans kind of got in the way and started hindering and caused them trouble in building. But that wasn't just the only thing that was going on. I mean, yes, they were stirring up trouble, but, you know, something else got in the way. And like I said, the foundation for the temple is laid. But it's going to be 16 long years before there's any more progress. Because not only did the enemy come in and disturb them, and they could have overcome it if they just would, but it seems that Zerubbabel and many of the others there were so busy rebuilding their own homes and very costly homes and, you know, putting that all together, that they sort of forgot the need to build the house of the Lord, to get that put up again. You know that they needed this place of worship. But praise the Lord, again, God knows how to move on the situation. And Zerubbabel was stirred up by certain of the prophets, Haggai for one, and also Zechariah. And we're reading this right now in the scripture. The Lord had a means to help Zerubbabel to get back into the effort, into motion, so to speak, and start working on the temple so it would be put up. And praise the Lord, through these efforts, he was able to throw himself and the others that worked with him wholeheartedly back into the work. And the Lord honored it. It wasn't now the time of Cyrus. Now it was the time of Darius, who was now king there, but it's amazing how God used Darius also. He went back to look into the books and he saw where Cyrus had established and designated funds to meet the needs of these Hebrew people. And praise the Lord, all their needs were met. And by the sixth year of Darius, the temple was finished. God helped them to do this work. It's an amazing story. Again, just how the Lord worked on heathen kings to provide for them and to supply their needs so that his house could be built. And the wonder of it all. And it was finished. The sixth year of Darius, in the month of Adar, on the third day, it was finished. And yes, they dedicated the temple at that point, and there was much ceremony and a time of rejoicing, as it is recorded in the book of Ezra. Praise the Lord. But in order to bring in our scripture here from Zechariah, I wanted to fill you in as far as all these details. You see how it is. You know, there was this delay, and if somebody went to kind of give them a big poke or, you know, stirred them, you know, some encouragement, perhaps the temple never would have been rebuilt, you know? But here it is. God has given Zechariah this amazing vision. And here there's some explanation as we continue this chapter. Verse 6 tells us here, Zechariah, the fourth chapter, verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And I think this is such an amazing portion of Scripture. You know, people on their own, and you know, they trust in horses, they trust in chariots, you know, they put their trust in man, in things tangible, and you know, they look for power, they look for wealth, all those kind of things that are superficial. But as children of the Lord, we need to realize where our strength comes from. Here in this chapter, and as the unfolding of all these events, we realize that it was God who made the rebuilding of the temple possible. It wasn't because Zerubbabel had, you know, might. He had a big army behind him, manpower, and all of that. No, it was God who had brought it into being. It was God who made it possible. And yes, here, the word of the Lord is coming, and it's directed unto Zerubbabel. He needed encouragement. The foundation had been built, it had been laid, but nothing else. Can you imagine that? 16 years, just, you know, this foundation standing there, and, you know, people must have pondered and wondered, when in the world is something else going to happen? But here it is. It's time now. It was necessary that, oh yes, progress be made and that temple be built. And so here comes the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, again, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't going to be by his influence or the money backing that he had or the strength that he had. Oh, the military backup that he had. It wasn't going to be because of that at all. But it was because God was with them. And it was God's will that this would go forth and be built. Praise the Lord. And that's our God. There is nothing too hard for him. So it tells us in verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt be become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." And praise the Lord. Yes, oh, it seemed like a great mountain. Oh, are there mountains in your lives? We've spoken of them in times past. Oh, those obstacles that might seem like they're impossible to us. Things that we can't overcome, or projects that seem way too big for us. You know, predicaments that, you know, we have no control over. All kinds of circumstances, maybe financial, maybe our health, you know, maybe the need for deliverance. God knows it all. But praise the Lord, those mountains can come down. And it's not going to be because we have big shovels and machinery to bring them down. No, it's not going to be because of that. It's because we serve the mighty God. Praise the Lord, and what He says comes to pass. Praise the Lord, that's the God that we serve. Praise the Lord, and yes, oh, he was encouraging Zerubbabel. Oh, yes, oh, great mountain. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, once they got into the project, praise the Lord, it began to move really quickly. Oh, yes, I think it was the second year of Darius when they began. And by the sixth year, it was completed. Praise the Lord, the headstone was laid. And yes, they had the dedication of that building. And they cried, grace, grace unto it. Praise the Lord, the mighty God that we serve who made it to come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we still serve the mighty God. You know, and He has not changed. So many things have changed. Things are changing all the time. Oh, my. You know, you don't have to live that many years to see great changes in this world. But we serve one that doesn't change. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Praise the Lord. Those are the obstacles. Those are the hindrances. Those are the things that seem impossible to us. Maybe that's the healing that you need. Oh, yes, the deliverance that you need. Maybe there's a bondage in your life. Or maybe you're addicted to cigarettes, alcohol, God knows, drugs. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God who knows how to deliver, how to set free. He knows how to say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, because He had cursed that fig tree and told it not to bear any more fruit, and promptly it withered away. And the disciples had looked at that and marveled. Wow, you know, that doesn't usually happen, you know, just like that. But praise the Lord, our God is talking about great possibilities when we serve Him. Oh, yes, great things that can be done if we could just believe Him and not doubt. And yes, if we could say to this mountain, that obstacle, that hindrance, that great need, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Praise the Lord, He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord, He has given His church power and authority. Yes, to speak to that mountain, that obstacle, that hindrance, and tell it to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And who can stand before us when we come in His great name? Praise the Lord. And verse 22 in this 21st chapter of Matthew says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God knows our needs. You know, maybe you need a car, you know. And I love this story. I was speaking with Sister Penny, and you know, she was telling me how Mackenzie needed a car, and her daughter Mackenzie, and how she had, you know, listed specifics that she would like. And praise the Lord, the Lord answered exactly. And it gave her, you know, just what was in her heart. But that's our God. Praise the Lord. He knows. Oh, yes, He hears. He's so willing, you know, to help His people, to make a way. Oh, yes. And to give us great hope in this world. And praise the Lord. Yes. Zerubbabel needed some encouragement. But praise the Lord, this is what he needed. Oh, he needed these words. Oh, yes, the word of the Lord coming unto him, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? You know, what a question. Who art thou? You know, what is it that can, you know, try to come before us? What is that obstacle? Is there anything too hard for our God? Oh, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Verse 8 goes on to say, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you a message from the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This encouragement, all that foundation that had laid there for 16 years. Oh my, Zerubbabel, the man who had instigated the start of it, was also going to finish it. The Lord was going to see to it. The Lord was going to make a way. And his hands were also going to finish it. And it would be evidence that the Lord of hosts had sent that message unto him. Praise the Lord. It would all be verified. It would stand. It was the word of God. Praise the Lord. And that's our God. Amen. For it asks in verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Yeah, sometimes, you know, we're waiting for the greater outpouring, the greater answers, the greater blessings, the greater miracles. But yet, we don't want to despise the day of small things. Oh, the little things that, you know, encourage our hearts so greatly. We know that the Lord has done those things specifically for us, and what a blessing it is. No, we don't want to despise those little things. They all indicate that our God is with us. And oh yes, he's showing himself in a mighty way. So here it says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that plumb line was going to be in the hand of Zerubbabel. Yes, a weight that was attached to a line that would be brought down to help them in the building process. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that was going to be in the hand of Zerubbabel. And yes, the project was going to be completed. And who had declared it? Oh, yes. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Oh, the Lord was verifying it. The Lord was in charge, and he would see to it. Oh, yes, seven indicates, oh, yes, the ability of our God to see everywhere and everything at all times, missing nothing at all. You know, the eyes of the Lord, those seven. Oh, yes, our mighty God who sees it all, who knows it all. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. He was going to see to it that this project would be completed. Oh, the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Oh, we are not forsaken. We are not forlorn. Our Lord sees us at this very time. Oh, in such an hour as this, when we don't know what's in the making. You know, we hear rumors and we know there's situations at hand. And, you know, the coronavirus that they're all talking about. And some of us think that, you know, they've really made it way bigger than it should be. And you know, a bunch of hype and all that. But, you know, our God knows all about it. And he knows and cares for his people. Praise the Lord. And he knows how to make a way for us. Oh, yes, no matter what happens. Praise the Lord. We don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. You know, these are ridiculous times. I mean, very difficult times. We're seeing so many things unfolding before our eyes. I declare that we are in the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. But our God is with us. Yes, and he still running to and fro through the whole earth, discerning all things, knowing all things. Oh, yes, caring for His people, which are the apple of His eyes. And oh, yes, knowing the end from the beginning and when it's going to be over. Praise the Lord. And His redeemed will be brought forth. Praise the Lord. To forever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's all coming forth. And we know, yes, that this which was declared there concerning Zerubbabel, yes, that temple was completed. Yes, they did renew that project. Oh, yes, it was built from that foundation. And God had seen to it. And God had it done. Praise the Lord. He provided for it. Oh, to the very littlest details. Every little thing that was needed was provided for. Praise to our God. Amen. And then there's a bit more because we've got the first portion of this scripture to put together here. It says in verse 11, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof?" And verse 12 tells us, "And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" And then the answer, verse 13, "And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Oh, praise the Lord. This is quite an image here, quite a picture. What a vision Zechariah saw. But here we see again that candlestick, all made of gold, and the bowl on top of it. And then the seven lamps on top of that, and the pipes that led to those seven lamps. And then by their sides, by the side of this beautiful candlestick, were the two olive trees. Oh, yes, one on the right side, one on the left. There to supply that which was needed, the golden oil that would come out to supply the needs for that candlestick. Praise the Lord, our God, who knows how to supply our needs. Oh, yes, who knows every little detail. And then he said, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth," meaning those olive trees. Oh, yes, they were the witnesses. We read of them in Revelation, the 11th chapter. Oh, yes, and we know that the witnesses, the Word and the Spirit, oh, yes, that stand up and bring life. Such a marvel. It's the flow of the Holy Ghost that comes and invigorates. It's the mighty Word that, oh yes, our God has declared that gives life unto His people. Oh yes, we know it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy, it tells us in Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 5. It's by His mercy. According to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. Here we have this beautiful picture of that golden candlestick. And oh, yes, the supply of oil that continually ran up through those olive trees into the pipes that went into the bowl there where the lamps were to provide the light that was needed. Oh, the oil represents the Spirit of the living God. Oh, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. The Spirit that would come forth and be in the people of the Lord God so that we could go forth and accomplish the work that the Lord had designated for His church. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it all is. And oh, yes, the Word of God that comes forth. Jesus said in John the 6th chapter, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the Spirit of the living God that makes us alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but He quickened us because He sent forth the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said so. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, John 6, verse 63, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Praise the Lord, the living Word of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus that came to this world, that we might have salvation, that we might have everlasting life. Those words that He spoke, they were spirit and they were life. They were going to give life to His people, and not just for the moment, but it would be an everlasting life. Oh, yes, He would put His Spirit within us so that, oh, yes, an everlasting life could spring up within our very being. Oh, yes, and that, oh, yes, the living water could flow through us. Oh, so that we could be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, the words that Jesus Christ proclaimed could be part of our words, part of our background, so we can understand and acknowledge. Oh, yes, those words that bring us to salvation. Oh, yes, that cause us to know our great need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, those words of life that Jesus spoke forth. And yes, that promise that He proclaimed, yes, that there was that need for those that followed Him to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until they would be endued with that power from on high. Oh, yes, that power from on high was the gift of the Holy Ghost that came into their being. On the day of Pentecost, praise the Lord, it would be likened unto these olive trees that flowed by the golden candlestick here in Zechariah here, that continual supply of oil that would come forth. And, you know, just continually always when it was needed, that living water that the Lord has provided that would spring up within us so that, oh yes, we might never thirst. That we could always be fed. Oh yes, when our spirit starts to fail, we can go to the living water and we can ask Him for more. Oh Lord, I need more. Oh, I'm discouraged. My spirit is fainting. But praise the Lord, we can ask of the Lord Jesus to refresh our spirits and to give us more of that living water. Oh yes, you know, that would be like rivers of living water, as Jesus spoke of it there in the 7th chapter of the book of John. Oh yes, it tells us in John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. He was giving that water out that he promised the woman who was at the well of Samaria there. Oh, yes, she asked for that living water there in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Because he wanted it. Jesus was there to tell her of the gift of God. And Jesus told that woman that, you know, if she knew, who it was that was there asking her, if she, you know, for water, that she would ask him, give me to drink. Oh, yes. And he would give that living water. Oh, yes, he was speaking of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that he would send forth not many days hence, you know, as was promised. Thereafter he ascended into the heavens, he was going to send forth his Spirit. And yes, as Jesus explained to that woman of Samaria, John, the fourth chapter, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord pours out of his Spirit. And it's such a wonder that there's always more. That well that Jesus Christ is talking about here is so deep. That there's always more water. That well never goes dry. There's always more water that it can pour out upon his people, his thirsty people, his needy people, whatever the situation is. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he promised that those that would ask for that living water, yes, he would be asked. A well of water springing up into everlasting life within the being, within the person. Praise the Lord, those that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I love how the prophet Joel spoke of it too. There in Joel, the second chapter. Praise the Lord, just turn you there. Tells us in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Praise the Lord. I love the way he described it here. It was going to come to pass, as Joel is prophesying, that God was going to pour out in the last days his Spirit upon all flesh. He was going to pour it out. It was going to be that living water. It was going to be that oil that would never run out. And he was going to pour it out upon their sons and their daughters. Oh, yes, and they would prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit. And praise the Lord. Peter, his first message there in the book of Acts, the second chapter, after the Holy Ghost came upon them there in the upper room. Yes, they followed Jesus' instructions. Oh, yes, the 24th chapter of the book of Luke tells us that Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And praise the Lord, that's what they were doing there in the upper room. They were waiting for the Spirit of the living God to be poured out, that living water, oh yes, that oil that would never run out, that would forever be replenished. And yes, tells us in Acts, that second chapter, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, verse 4 here in Acts 2 tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord takes our tongue, that unruly member, that member of our body that is so hard to control. But when the Lord pours out of His Spirit, He takes that tongue. Praise the Lord. And all at once, it's not us. Oh no, it's not by might, or it's not by our power, by any means. But it's by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, He begins to move our very unruly member there. And we begin to speak forth in another tongues as the Spirit of God gives us utterance. Praise the Lord as He speaks through us, His people. Praise the Lord, and that's what happens at Pentecost. And He tells us, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And look how God had it set out. It was going to be poured out at such a time. There were representatives from all over the world there, waiting and wondering and seeing this and hearing this as God was pouring out of His Spirit. It says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7 here in Acts 2 tells us, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12 tells us, and they were all amazed. Oh, this was so amazing. Oh, they were speaking forth in their own native tongues, and they could hear them. And you know, here, these were Galileans. And how did they know the languages of all these that were gathered there? There's no way they could have known those languages. But praise the Lord was speaking through them. He had poured out of His Spirit. And now, yes, they were uttering forth the wonderful praises of God in languages and tongues that they knew not of their own accord or understanding. Praise the Lord. And it says again, verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this he said in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that which we read there from Joel, the second chapter. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise the Lord, oh, the fulfillment of Scripture. Oh, we know that Zerubbabel, he saw the fulfillment of that which Zechariah proclaimed unto him, that specific word that was given to him. Oh, yes, O mountain. Oh, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Oh, yes, that mountain was going to come down, and that temple was going to be built. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who had laid the foundation was going to, yes, finish the project. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, here is another wonderful, oh, prophetic utterance come to pass in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that which Joel had declared. Oh, yes, that God in the last days was going to pour out of His Spirit. Oh, yes, just as, oh, yes, those olive trees would pour out of their oil into that bowl there, oh, for that golden candlestick that Zechariah saw. You know, those pipes that would, you know, they would empty themselves out, that golden oil out, and continuously, so God would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, and yes, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants, on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we're told that holy men of old would speak as the Holy Ghost would come upon them. In the days of old, as they brought forth the Word of God, it was because they would be anointed. And there was a tremendous blessing in that anointing. Oh, it would change them when they were anointed. It would, when Saul was anointed King of Israel, he became a different man. There, until he disobeyed and the kingdom was taken away from him. But initially, when he was anointed with oil by Samuel, the prophet, he became a new man. And he prophesied by the Spirit of God. And it was like he was a different person. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, God is pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Oh yes, in those days of the old covenant, God would come upon His prophets, and the Word would come upon them. They would be moved by the Holy Ghost. It would come upon them. But since the outpouring of God's Spirit comes to dwell inside His people. So it's not just a moving of God's Spirit for the moment so they could prophesy or bring forth that which was needed to be heard. But God puts His Spirit in His people so that we can constantly have a refilling, have a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Yes, He told His disciples in John the 14th chapter, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you see the promises of God? How He's just constantly telling us that, you know, those things that we have need of, those things that we ask for Him, He will do it. Praise the Lord. And we could just get over the doubts and get over the fears and get over all the hindrances that try to, you know, steal away the good things of God from our lives. Praise the Lord. Yes, He said, "Greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." Oh, yes, praise the Lord. And He said in verse 15 here in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Yes, that's a part of it too. And verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Yes, he talked about how he would not leave them comfortless, but he would come to you. He would come to them. He would come to us, those, oh yes, that would receive his wonderful word. He would come as the Spirit of truth, as the Comforter, as the Holy Ghost, as it was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And I love how he told them, yes, oh, you know him. You know, you see him. Because he's right here. He was right there in their presence. For he dwelleth with you. But there was coming that time when, oh yes, they would see him not. And he goes on to explain that. But yet, he would be in his people. Yes, the Holy Ghost indwelled inside his people. That source of oil. Oh yes, that continuous supply. That living water that, oh, would well up inside of us to provide for our needs. Oh yes, to teach us all things, as it tells us later here in this 14th chapter of John. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, we see it in the 15th chapter of the book of John, where he told them, oh, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Praise the Lord, that need to abide in him. Oh yes, he's the source. It's not going to be by our might. It's not going to be by our power. It's not going to be by our intellect or our wealth or our physical ability by any means. None of that. But it's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. And praise the Lord, yes, he promised that he would come and abide. It was like, you know, that golden candlestick whose source was supplied from it from the two olive trees, one on the left hand and one on the left. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Oh, the supply, the need, the Holy Ghost is all in Jesus. And if we abide in him and he in us, then, therefore, we are going to bring forth much fruit. So it tells us in the 15th chapter of the book of John. But, you know, he stated clearly, without me, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. It was those olive trees that supplied the oil there for that candlestick. And, you know, it's the Lord Jesus. His Spirit that comes forth. Oh, yes, the source of our strength. Oh, our ability. The needs that we have. Oh, yes, that we can ask and receive. Praise the Lord. But that need for us to abide in him. We could do nothing without him. We have to be embedded in the presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of the living God. We have to have his Spirit working within our very beings. Praise the Lord. He says in John 15, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Oh, praise the Lord, that is his will. That, oh yes, it would be by his Spirit. Oh yes, that we would bring forth the wonderful works of God. That we would glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's because, yes, his Spirit comes to abide in our very being. Oh, yes, so that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And so we can be led of the Spirit of the living God. Oh yes, Paul wrote that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter of the old law killeth. But he was offering, as he offered that woman, that Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, that living water that would give life. Praise the Lord, that everlasting life, oh, that supply that would keep us in spite of all the trouble of the world, all the agitations, all the conflicts, all the trouble, all the persecution, all the things that are yet to come, all the sickness. All the needs, the Lord knows how to supply those needs for His people. Praise the Lord. I love how, yes, it was brought out here in Zechariah. Yes, that which was prophesied unto Zerubbabel, that temple, yes, it was going to be built. That cornerstone was going to be laid, and it was going to be by the hands of Zerubbabel, the one who had laid the foundation. Even though it seemed like it tarried long, even though there were all those years in the making there before this was accomplished, it seemed like it was a forgotten project there for a while. But our God doesn't forget. Our God's always on time. He knows how to make a way. Maybe you've sought for the gift of the Holy Ghost for a long time and it seems like it's never going to happen. But oh, our God is the same and He knows. Oh yes, when that's that earnest cry from the heart, oh that need, oh He responds to that cry. Oh, that cry for the living water. That pouring out of His Spirit which He promised. Oh yes, He's here to bring it forth. Just, oh yes, He had prophesied that Zerubbabel was going to, by the hand of God, finish that temple. Praise the Lord. And yes, He explained those two olive trees there on the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side. Oh, those two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. Oh, I love that description there in verse 12 of Zechariah chapter 4. Oh, that oil that was pouring out. Oh, yes. Verse 14 says that these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Oh, the anointing that comes forth when we are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just as I indicated that Saul became a different person when he was anointed with oil, and that was symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the living oil that Jesus would send forth after He ascended back into heaven and came back as the Comforter, His Spirit, that He would pour out that living water, that Comforter that would come forth to provide us with a source of strength that we would not have of our own self. Praise the Lord, not by our might or not by our own power, but it would be by the Spirit of the living God and that anointing. Oh yes, David was anointed. Samuel anointed him king, and there was a definite, distinct difference in him when he was anointed. Oh yes, it was essential that the articles in the tabernacle of old were anointed. Yes, the high priest was anointed. It was symbolic of the Spirit of the living God that God would send forth as the anointing upon His people. And praise the Lord, God still has a people. Oh yes, that gift of the Holy Ghost that He poured out on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just for them at that moment, just for that cause right then and there. Oh no, they were pricked in their heart after Peter had preached the message of salvation to them. And oh yes, and the realization that God had poured out of His Spirit, they were pricked in their hearts. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do course, Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He went on to say in verse 39 in Acts 2, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. It wasn't just for that time period. It wasn't just for that moment. No, it echoes out to this very moment, to this time period before our Lord and Savior comes back. That promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost was unto those that were there gathered at Pentecost, surely, and to their children. Yes, but also to all that are far off. Oh, yes, beyond those regions, and even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I love that. Oh, yes. Oh, that Holy Ghost is still working today. Oh, that need of our God. Oh, yes, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He has saved us, as Titus, the third chapter, tells us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord, the abundant life in Christ. Oh, yes, the supply of oil that comes forth. Oh, that anointing that God brings forth and that puts on His people so that they can stand up and declare the works of the living God. Praise the Lord, yes. Those that represent, oh, yes, that oil, that, oh yes, He has poured out and is still pouring out today, that wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, again, He said, as I read before, in John the 6th chapter, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, yes, He was bringing forth the kingdom of God. Oh yes, His kingdom would be in His people, and He was going to pour out of His Spirit, oh, so that we could be quickened, so we could be made alive in our very being, so the Spirit of the living God could dwell in our very beings. Praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And indeed, as it was told unto Zerubbabel, oh, yes, inspiration of God unto Zechariah. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's how we're going to make it through this world. It's not going to be by our own ingenuity, our own intellect, our own strength, our own might. None of that by any means. But it's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. And I thank the Lord. Oh, yes. There's a continual supply. Yes. The Holy Ghost is for us today. We need it. Oh, my. We need it like never before. And if we ask, I believe that we will receive it. Praise the Lord. If we seek, I believe we shall find. I believe if we knock, the door shall be opened unto us. And praise the Lord, Jesus said in Luke the 11th chapter, and oh yes, indeed He would pour out of His Spirit if, you know, we would ask Him there, you know, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you ask? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is here. He's here to pour out of His Spirit. Praise the Lord to give us a strength that we do not have in ourselves. Oh, yes, the mind of Christ to dwell in our very being so that we can be part of his vine. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that oil that flows forth. Oh, yes, that supply that never runs dry. That living water. Oh, yes, that well that has no bottom. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's our wonderful God, and he's giving forth of his Spirit. Praise the Lord, so that his children can have that anointing upon their lives. Praise the Lord, that we can stand in the strength of the living God, that we can have victory. Oh, yes, that we can have faith, that we can go forth and do the works of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the source of our strength, as unto those two olive trees. Oh, and that supplied the olives and the olive oil that was necessary. Oh, yes, for that candlestick. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The Lord sends forth his Spirit into our life so that he can shine through us and we can be a light in this world. And oh, yes, by his Spirit, yes, live in this world and overcome. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you would give understanding to each and every heart, Lord. I pray that you'd put that desire within us. Oh God, I pray that you'd send forth the refreshing of thy Spirit. Oh God, that all that living water would flow within us. Oh, that living water, those wells of salvation, Lord, that you'd pour out of your Spirit that wonderful anointing oil, Lord, that it would be upon your children, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. That you'd work in a mighty way. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, we face perilous times, but God, you are with us and you are pouring out of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, that you might dwell in us. And oh, God, that we might be your children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, our God is wonderful. Amen. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 9 and sing "The Spirit of the Lord Shall Come," number 9. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river, flow, flow, river, flow, flow from the mountains to the valley. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. lands, to the valleys of plains, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And you're dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.